Hey, guys, and welcome to another edition of the Latin Babbler Show, where we are championing the Latino culture every week. I am your host, the Latin Babbler, and today we will be showcasing the beautiful country of Cuba, where we are going to give you some fun facts, talk about food, give some great locations to visit. The entire show is dedicated to showcasing Cuba. Now, we know that it's a tough one because of the politics involved. We're going to do our best to focus on the culture as much as we can. So let me first introduce my crew. Tigera, sound off.
What's up? Que vuelta.
Miss Rocky.
Que hola, que hola. We in the house.
And we have the privilege of having our special guest who has been on our mini novela, Lo que el Babbler se perdió, as Alejandro. He played Jimmy Bennett on Criminal Minds. He's also made his Los Angeles stage debut at the Los Angeles LGBTQ Center, playing Newbie in the West Coast premiere of Hit the Wall. Jason has also been seen performing in musical videos for Five Finger Death Punch, The Vamps, Steve Grant, and Bart Baker. So welcome to the show to our very own Alejandro, Jason Sacerdes Lopez.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love how everybody was like, ¿Qué hola, Acere?
Super. Yeah, Jason Acere.
It is a
Cáceres.
Cáceres.
Yo, that's funny. Cáceres, Cáceres.
I heard it all through middle school. Trust me.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I just realized. Yeah. That had to be tough.
And I grew up in Miami, where everyone's Cuban. So it was always...
Three or five till we die.
Yeah.
No, for real. You're actually from Miami, but you graduated. You're from Tigera and Miss Rocky's sector. So you graduated from, like, Florida International University with, like, a Bachelor in Fine Arts.
I did.
Like, specifically in theater performance. So what performances did you do while you were there?
Oh, God, so many. The first one I did was called The Ruby Sunrise by Renee Groff. I was in Pride and Prejudice, where I played the ugly cousin, Mr. Collins.
Oh, you know, right? Ugly.
Slightly insulted, but, you know, it was fun. And then I did Arabian Nights. Just a bunch of stage performances. It was really a great time.
So it's kind of funny that he says that, because if you go to Jason's Instagram, he's literally a model. He's like on top of rocks and all kinds of stuff. No. He's got the physique of like this huge, you know, a persona. Like, I don't know. It's a complete contradiction. So.
Yeah. Es un jamón.
Tremendo jamón.
Con queso. Con queso. We're not saying he's cheesy, but we're saying he does that.
I'm a little cheesy.
So Jason, what got you into acting?
It's actually a really interesting story. So I grew up a very, very shy kid. I always hid behind my mom. I didn't talk to anyone, which is kind of like an oxymoron, because a shy Cuban, have you ever met one? Not really.
Never. Unheard of.
Or a quiet one for that matter.
So in third grade, my English teacher, Miss Valquesta, I'll never forget her because she had a slight mustache.
Don't they always? The horror.
Yeah, the horror. Suggested to my mom that she put me in acting classes to try to get me out of my shell. And it just spiraled from there.
Oh, wow.
I was in the Boy Scouts. They put me as head of, like, skit development for our little competition.
Oh, wow.
I know. I just caught the acting bug and never turned back.
Look at that.
You know what? You were saying, you know, a shy Cuban. Yeah, I know one. One of my exes. Anyways,
you also
do some commercials, right? Tú haces comerciales.
Mientras me paguen, hago lo que sea.
Like a true Cuban right there.
I do not want to know.
Yes, I've done some commercials. I've done a Spanish Coca-Cola commercial for the Mexican market, Spanish Ford commercial for South America. I did a commercial for Norway. It was a company called XXL Sports. It played in Norway, which was a lot of fun, very exciting. And then AT&T, LG, a bunch of commercials here and there.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, man. That's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
So now you're like a first generation Cuban. Have you been able to visit Cuba, or has your parent, or basically does everything that you have Cuban experience, like, been brought to you by your parents?
Everything has. That's a little bit of a touchy subject, as you said in your introduction, because of the politics involved. So I would love to go to Cuba one day. I would love to, but there is this inherent kind of like betrayal if I went back to visit to my family, since the majority of my family were political exiles.
Oh, okay, yeah.
there's all this right. feeling of I would kind of like betray the sacrifices by going back. So I'm going to wait till I'm a lot older.
Oh my God.
He's going to wait until he's been given full permission.
Seriously.
Wow. Mainly everything I know has been growing up through stories, listening to my parents, and Miami's has a very big Cuban influence. So I call it North Cuba instead of South Florida.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, hey, that's what they call it. I've been there. I used to live there. And yeah.
Yep.
The Cubans there, they're just as passionate as they are everywhere else. So
exactly.
It's basically like Cuba basically just came to the United States and like landed on Florida.
That's
yeah,
it.
Pretty much.
So.
Yeah. Yes. Well, so Jason, you are from the LGBTQ community and being in the Latino culture, did you find it difficult to finally coming out to the family?
I actually, the difficult part was actually doing it because there's a lot of, you know, anxiety and fears involved with coming out specifically. And as we're all aware, the Latino culture can be very machista sometimes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Totally.
Big time.
Luckily, though, I come from a very artsy family.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Once I actually came out, there was nothing but like acceptance and joy. And my mom's favorite uncle, actually, his name was Reynaldo. He was a famous dancer in Cuba at the Tropicana, which is like,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the biggest nightclub in Havana.
Yes, I would love to go there one day.
Me too. Apparently, like the dome on the roof, like opens up to the night sky or something like that.
It is amazing.
That's beautiful.
Amazing. Sadly, he passed away during the AIDS pandemic in the late 80s. So regarding coming out, there wasn't intolerance. It was more because they were surrounded by that fear of that disease.
Right.
Okay. And that was in the 80s, like, you know, late 70s, 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was like, I mean, you know, we talk about like the COVID advertising.
That was the
HIV
COVID
was like the thing. Yep. Like, I mean, it was everywhere. And, you know, even up from the president to below to even like what was doing, everything was about creating awareness for HIV and AIDS. I remember that.
Crazy. It wiped out an entire generation of LGBTQ people.
Yes. Right. I remember that. That's so crazy.
Yeah. It was mainly just my family just took a more educational approach to coming out. And we're like, all right, well, this is what we need to be aware of then. Instead of like, no, you can't be that.
And that's awesome because
that's
we actually
good.
Even, you know, we wrote the article. It's on the website. So we're celebrating Pride Month. And so that's one of the reasons why we asked that question is because we talked about the stigma within the Latino community about what that's like. And we had so many different, I guess you can say, testimonies from some of the people who were in the article that mentioned such a different experience, you know, whether their family was overly religious or, you know, whether they had, you know, certain, like you were saying, the machismo, you know, things like we don't do that here type of things. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's actually great that your experience is actually one that's like of a good story as opposed to one that, you know, one that we familiarly hear all the time. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for everyone, obviously. And I'm including just my immediate family in this acceptance, in this bubble of acceptance.
Of course,
because,
yeah,
of course,
yeah.
There's, you know, cousins and distant aunts and uncles that were kind of like, oh, well then. And then my mom was like, well then, back to you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. And first of all, some of those cousins aren't even real cousins anyways. So we've already established that on the show quite a few times.
Yeah, you... So. Yeah, I have so many cousins that aren't actually cousins, but we grew up with them, so they're cousins.
So
they're cousins, right?
You know, cousins.
We say bendición to tías that don't exist. So, all right, so let's get right into it. We're going to start with the facts about Cuba. So facts about Cuba, ready? As we do this every week, we go into the core, and the core is kind of, Cuba's got some interesting ones, by the way. So the first one is 11 million people. That's the population in Cuba right now as of 2021. Capital, Havana, which has 2.1 million inhabitants there. The actual official name of Cuba is the Republic of Cuba, and we all know that the government is a socialist republic. The official language there, obviously being Latino, is Spanish.
Español.
And like a lot of Latin countries, it's mainly Christian, 65% of these mainly Catholics.
Oh.
So it is a very Catholic country, mm-hmm. obviously because of we know why.
Yep.
A lot of rosary and all that.
A lot of rosary and beads being held there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we got another one for you afterward. So it's kind of funny. They have the currency is the Cuban peso. which is 100 centavos if you turn around and add them up in chelas. So here we go. So the national symbol, royal palm tree, it's a national tree. The Cuban trogon is also called tocororo. That's the national bird. La mariposa butterfly flower, which is the national flower. So a little history about Cuba. After the Spanish-American War, Cuba became a protectorate of the United States, as every freaking island does. On May 20th of 1902, Cuba became a fully independent republic. And since 1965, Cuba has been under communist rule, which is why Jason was saying what he was saying with how his parents feel about the country. So Cuba was led by Fidel Castro from 1959 to 2006, when he handed over the presidency over to his brother Raul. And since 2019, the president is Miguel Díaz-Canel. Miguel Díaz-Canel. Havana is only 90 miles south of Key West. And I'm thinking that people can probably swim that if you have that Michael Phelps in you.
Yeah, there is actually one lady. Could. There's one lady. I was a swimmer in high school. But this American woman, I'm forgetting her name right now, but she has swam that. I don't remember how long it took, but she's like the first woman to swim that, entire strait.
Yep. That is insane.
Yeah, Miami was not happy when that happened.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, That Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit, bitch, and be fierce on a huge-ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy.
And cunty.
With us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
Hey, it doesn't matter what Miami was, you know, thinking. Yeah, well, woman power, though. Whoop.
Yeah.
Woman power, they send it right back to Miami. Like, okay, yeah. Turn your ass right back over.
It's like, thank you for landing in Cuba, but now you go right back.
Yeah, exactly.
Beep. Finish that sentence? Vete pa' qué?
Vete pa' la ping.
Yeah. Hey, we're a family show. Let's keep it clean. Let's keep it clean.
So right. Sorry. So sorry, my peoples.
So the highest mountain in Cuba is Pico Torquino, which is 6,476 feet high.
They have a dessert called after that in Polo Norte here in Miami. El
really?
Pico Torquino. And I never knew that's where it came from.
Well, that's what it is.
Is it like, a really high mountain and stuff? Like you could just have to go all the way up.
And it's like a chocolate cake probably, right?
No, it has those lady fingers and it's like ice cream and a cake. I don't know, but it's delicious.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
It's so good. Polo Norte. I'll find out exactly what's in
Miss
it.
Miss Rocky, leave the delicious for the food, yo.
Yeah, I was about to say. We haven't even gotten the food section.
Got that right. Okay.
That's hilarious.
So the Viñales Valley in Cuba is known for its karst landscape. Here you can see Mogotes, a unique mountain formation which consists of isolated hills with very steep walls. So Cuba's biggest rivers, for those of you who are going to go swimming on this, is Cauto, Saza, Isagua, La Grande. It's always something La Grande. Never Chiquito.
Right. Never Chiquito.
Never Pico. Chiquito. Sagua La Chiquito. That doesn't exist. So Havana is the biggest city of Cuba. The other cities are so much smaller and have less than 500,000 inhabitants, including Santiago de Cuba and Camagüey. So Cuba has largely a state-planned economy. So pretty much means that most businesses and productions are state-owned and run by the government. As of late, you know, they have some private sector that has been expanding, but most of the things are government owned. So ironically enough, people pay their food and supplies with coupons. They call it el libreto. And el libreto is like a rations book. So similar to like, I guess, the food stamps here, they get a certain amount of coupons for monthly supplies such as rice, sugar, and meat. And the basic supplies such as cooking fuels.
Except worse than the food stamps here.
Yes, it's worse.
Yes.
That was the one thing that my family growing up, when I was like, I'm hungry. I don't want to eat what we're in the fridge. Oh, yeah? Pero no viviste con libreto. I'm like, okay, I get it. Apparently it was like so bad. You would only get like one whole chicken.
One thing. Yeah. For the whole month or whatever.
Yeah, for the whole family.
Yeah, the entire family got one book depending on the family size, and it was rationed through the entire, and it's rationed because of the economic challenges. So, you know, it's kind of, but it's kind of weird because Cuba's main like agricultural products are like sugar, citrus fruits, and tobacco. So, and then you have rice and beans. So the fact that sugar is one of the exporting things that the country has makes you wonder why they have so much, you know, need to be having a system like that. But it's a socialist country, so what do you expect? So ironic enough, when we're sitting here tapping on that, Cuba has two national currencies. So the Cuban peso is the one that's used by all the locals, and they trade it. That's how they pay for everything. So then there's the convertible peso, which is the ones that we get should we go to like tour Cuba. And we can use those in like different special shops and so forth. The one that we get, the convertible peso, is about 25 times more valuable than the actual local one. So that's crazy. Can you imagine that? Like the money we come in with is 10 times more valuable than the people that's who live there.
Yeah, I didn't even
know that. Insane. Yeah, that's crazy. So there are only a few cars in Cuba. So for those of them who are riding around, they're considered like old timers. These people are driving around 1950s. And the reason for that is a lot of foreign imports were banned under Fidel Castro. And today, new cars are so expensive and the spare parts for the older cars are not even available anymore. So many Cubans simply can't afford to buy a new car. So if you have one, you got to kind of maintain it yourself. And if you're trying to get something from another country, it's almost impossible. So the indigenous people that were in the area included the Taino, the Siboney, who moved here from like South America. The Taino were farmers, while the Siboney people were hunters and gatherers. So it's kind of like a good mixture. The Cuban culture, obviously, as we mentioned, it was influenced by Spanish, African, Caribbean, Taino culture traditions. Cuban is known for its music style and dances such as rumba, mambo, cha-cha-cha, and those were all invented in Cuba. So here are some other interesting facts that you probably didn't know. Kind of exciting, though, because when I read them, I was like, what? So Christmas was banned in Cuba for 30 years.
Good Lord.
30 yep. years. Jason, no Christmas.
So, I know. That's Christmas is like in Miami the biggest holiday you can celebrate because
yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, for the longest time you weren't allowed to practice any religion in Cuba.
Yeah. Like, so according to this, Fidel Castro and the communist government came into power in 1959, and Cuba was declared an atheist state, which is kind of an interesting thing considering the fact they were all Latinos. And most of them were all, you know, because of the Spanish culture that came into that, all majority, as we were mentioning, Catholics. Absolutely. So the fact that they couldn't practice anything was crazy. So he then abolished Christmas in 1969, 10 years later, and removed it as an official paid holiday. And the reason for that being because it was supposedly creating a negative impact on the country's production of sugar. Cuba's 30-year ban came to an end in 1997 when the Pope went to visit. Pope John Paul II's historic visit to the country. So just think about that. The period that when Christmas was banned is locally referred to as Las Navidades Silenciadas, which is the silent Christmases. And to this day, Christmas, unlike us, is a normal working day.
I don't know about like us. Now people work on Christmas Day, yo. You go to the supermarket, to stores, and they're open.
That's
now.
Different, though. Like, it's a national holiday. Like, most people aren't working on Christmas unless they work at, like, places of eatery and things like that. So try going to the mall. You can get it to, like, maybe 12 o'clock. After that, you're done. They're sending people home, I think.
I think they should close, period. Well, that's rude.
Hey, I know, but some people are trying to get that last-minute freaking fruit bread. So
buy that the day before the day.
Exactly.
So
I will.
Here's another one. Hitchhiking is a common way of traveling. So if you're in Cuba, you're going to be hitchhiking. And the reason being is because they don't have any cars. So as mentioned, most of them don't own it. So they have to hitchhike to their destinations. Government vehicles are legally obliged to pick up hitchhikers whenever they ask. That's crazy.
What? So
we talked about
crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
Hell no.
I remember hearing stories about that all the time growing up, too. Like, apparently the buses would get so packed because there are no cars. And everybody, like, you know, takes buses or hitchhikes that people would hang off the back of the buses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And trains, people, like, would hop on the back of trains just to get to where they're going a little bit faster.
Yeah. And the funny part is they're not frequent. So when you saw a train, everybody was just jumping on it because they weren't going to see one for a while.
Yep. Even if you couldn't get inside, you'd hang off the window.
So as we talked about, you know, Christianity being 65% of the religion, Santeria is the second most popular religion after Catholicism. One of the main elements of Afro-Cuban culture is Santeria, a religion that was developed amongst Cubans from West African heritage. And Santeria features a mix of religious elements that are like from the Yoruba people, which is an African tribe, with Roman Catholicism, which was introduced in Cuba after the Spanish conquistadores. Santeria rituals and ceremonies are held in temples known as Casa de Santos, which is ironic, houses of saints, and are led by priests and priestesses. So most of us know what Santeria is. We've seen it on TV. We've seen it talked about by our family. And they're like, no, no me echa Santeria. So, yeah.
It's also during hurricane season. That's the biggest thing here.
Yo.
Yep.
Santeria didn't get no hurricane. Total Santeria.
Agua, fango, y factoria.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Agua, fango. Every Cuban family has a babalao, which is like
a babalao.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So
let's see, the Cuban flag. This is the last, you know, a couple of things about the Cuban information. So Cuban flag, the blue stripes refer to the three old divisions of the island. The two white equals to strength and the independence ideal. And the red triangle stands for equality, fraternity, and freedom. As always, you know, the blood spilt for the struggle of independence. And the lone star symbolizes the absolute freedom among its people. So the Cuban flag. And by the way, if there's still that debate of which one came first, Puerto Rican and the Cuban flag, because they flipped the colors, the Cuban flag came first. I apologize, my Puerto Rican people. That's just the way it works. The Puerto Rican flag was established because they helped Cubans get independence and they shared a flag of nationality by themselves. They basically just flipped the colors.
So, I'm going to cry right now. Hold on.
Yep. We're going to end that discussion right there.
I know they're always fighting about that, yo. Oh, my goodness.
They are. Flag. And so I'm giving you the information. You can get upset all you want. That is the way it happened. And so here we go. Something Cuban, because now instead of something Latino, we're going to have something Cuban. So obviously you can't talk about Cuba and you can't talk about South Miami without talking about the infamous Cuban sandwich, which is eaten everywhere around the world. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's one of the most popular contributions of Cuban American culture and Cuban cuisine. You know, they toast the bread, in it is roast pork. The original one was actually made with salami, I believe, and ham and cheese. And then they turn around and afterwards you can add some mustard and some pickles and sometimes mojo salsa.
Delicious.
Ah, I grew up knowing this as the medianoche.
Yes.
And when I left Miami, nobody calls it a medianoche in the rest of the country. It's a Cuban sandwich.
It's a Cuban sandwich. Like I said, there's two different types.
I know that's medianoche. I was confused for a minute there. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Medianoche, yo.
If you go to a menu in Los Angeles, New York, anywhere else, they call it the Cuban sandwich. And the reason being is because it's Cuban tradition. So they call it the Cuban sandwich.
I had a blonde moment. I was like, wait a minute.
So there is the what?
The Cuban sandwich is done with the Cuban bread. Exactly. Pan con lechon, the ham, the cheese, which is Swiss cheese, and the mustard, the pickles, and sometimes that mojo. The medianoche sandwich is just ham and cheese, and it's a completely different bread. It's a sweet bread. It's like a yellow bread.
I like that
and
bread.
It's sweet. Ooh. So that's the difference, the medianoche and the Cuban sandwich.
Oh, there we go.
Yes, girl, I don't have no problem, yo.
I'll eat one of each.
Now and one later.
Just stack them and eat them together.
I'll have one on each hand, the Cuban sandwich on one and the medianoche on the other.
And actually, there is a place in Tampa that still makes the original Cuban sandwich, which is with the salami.
That's the only place I was telling you about. They say that the original one is actually with the salami.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but I'd rather do the ham. I'm so sorry.
I'd rather do the lechon.
It's the lechon. It's the salami, not the lechon. Yeah.
Right.
The ham
No, I'll do the lechon better. Tastes much better. You know what? I'll try it with the salami and the lechon.
Exactly. Un poquito de todo.
So Domino's is a national Cuban pastime. Much like us Dominicans who are throwing it down on the table, you can see men playing men and women playing dominoes on the street. It's a very common sight. So it's part of their social activity and it's a pastime. The players normally sit around a table in the street and play dominoes for hours. And you can hear them cussing up a storm.
Yep.
So neighborhoods even have their own tournaments with two pairs of players playing against each other. Playing dominoes is also an excuse to catch up with friends and talk about current affairs.
And drink.
It can also be noisy because, yes, people drink and people get very animated. And so you'll always see people passing by as somebody is throwing their dice on the table and cussing somebody out because that's they right. just won the game.
It can be.
It's crazy. Some of the words we can't say here. So, Cuba's main music genre is called a son cubano. Now, you know, there's salsa that comes out of Cuba, but even though salsa is famous around the entire world, the most popular music genre in Cuba is the son cubano. Like many other Cuban music genres, son cubano contains Spanish and African musical influences. So cubano means a widely played genre, especially with the music venues of like Santiago de Cuba. What makes son cubano stand out from other music genres that it's the interesting mix of like instruments. So they include the bongos, the trumpets, the claves, and the tres guitar, which is like a unique to the son music. So with that said, speaking of son, Miss Rocky, you have our very first artist spotlight.
I do indeed. So our first artist spotlight is Pepito Montes and the Pepe Montes Conjunto. The band celebrates rich roots and the evolution of Afro-Cuban music. Their music includes son mantuno, mambo, tima, and Latin jazz. Here is Tiempo al Tiempo by Pepito Montes and the Pepe Montes Conjunto.
¡Suscríbete!
That was good.
Wasn't it?
Man, it was really
I
want
to go dancing. Al tiempo.
Yo, they be playing in the Havana, bro. They're in Miami, though. They are in Miami.
Yeah. That's right. You can find them on YouTube, Spotify, and Instagram at Pepito Montes Music.
That's a cool name. Pepito Montes Music.
Pepito.
Yes. I love it.
Oh, my God. Pepito. All the Hispanic stories, Jason.
You remind me of all the Pepito jokes.
Yes. So many. Every year is a new one. Every year.
But they are amazing. That was actually good. Like if you sit really there and you listen to it, you just want to dance. You sit there.
You can hear the
Afro
Latino. Rueda casino.
Yeah.
Dile que no. Un, dos, tres. There you go.
You heard the Asteres in the middle.
Yes.
Of that. Like, oh, it was so good. All right. Well, Digga, you got Celebrity Showcase. Hit us up.
Well, Celebrity Showcase is a little hard today because you know we have so many Cuban celebrities. So I'm just going to give you a few of the ones that I came up with. I have Cameron Diaz. You guys know Cameron Diaz. She's Cuban-American. She's been in the movie The Mask. She's been
Charlie's Angels.
Charlie's Angels, which she did awesome in. She has done so many movies. You know, we've got to love her. I love her smile. She also did one of my favorite movies, which was My Best Friend's Wedding. I think it was hilarious with Julia Roberts. Next, of course, the one and only Pitbull. From Miami, Florida, from the 305, and he's the one that put Dale on the map.
Mr. Worldwide made
it blow up. Everybody now says Dale, Dale.
That's crazy.
Every song that he plays makes you wanna, you know, jump, agarrar la botella.
He went to high school with my cousin.
Well, he dated one of my friend's ex-girlfriends, so I also saw him in clubs here too. And not tan grande, medio chiquitito.
No, he's like pequeñito.
Yeah, and of course Gloria Estefan. I mean, who doesn't know Gloria Estefan? She's been around. She's like an icon. She's been around forever. She started first with the Sound Machine, and then she went on her own, and she's still over the place. And now she's doing that Red Talk thing in Latino, in Spanish. And of course, you got Celia Cruz, que en paz descanse. She was la reina de la salsa.
Yep.
You know, she was amazing. She lived in New York. She was mostly in New York most of her life. And she's from Cuba. So, I mean, there's so many people. And, of course, I had to leave the best for last. Jason Caceres Lopez, yo. Like, let's give him an applause, yo.
Thank you. I don't know about celebrity, but maybe.
Hey, you're almost there, yo. You've been on TV.
That's it. Yep.
Hey, you were on Lo Que El Pablo Se Perdió. That's it.
Oh, that's right.
Ya, ahí te ganaste. Vas a estar en Univision to get your award in los premios nuestro.
Univision, Telemundo, Televisa,
that was enough.
Everywhere.
We're going to win an Emmy for that.
And that's all for today, Celebrity Showcase, because there was so many I couldn't keep up. I couldn't.
Yo, there is quite a few, though. I just wanted to say a few things. So, for instance, Celia Cruz, she paved the way for all Afro-Latinos to be able to turn around and be able to do what they got to do. So much props, because that is the queen. She has turned around and does a tremendous thing for the Latino community. Cameron Diaz is kind of weird for me because, like, she retired early. She just got tired of it. She was just like, one day, she was gone.
Yeah, but she did a lot of movies before she just retired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wasn't she in Something About Mary?
Oh, my God. I love that movie. That's right. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's crazy. It was such a good movie. But yeah, she was amazing.
And it was done here.
Yeah, it was actually done in Miami.
Well, her first debut was The Mask.
Yeah.
That was her first movie.
It's crazy. But it's, man, how people grow up on the screen, man.
Yes.
So much props to our celebrities.
I didn't know that she was Cuban for so long. Like, she never really mentioned it when she was coming up as an actress until like later on. And I was like, oh, wait, she's Cuban?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we have a way that we have to turn around and try to pave the way to get our foot in the door. So you already got the name Diaz attached to you. And I don't think people were trying to, like, you know, put themselves on there as far as trying to. And first of all, she kind of looks like, you know, Caucasian in a way.
Yeah. So I think she's mixed.
Yeah. I think she's what is it? Isn't it Irish and.
Yeah, she
and
definitely has some English.
Yeah,
something
like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, another actress who just started talking about her Cuban heritage, and I didn't know she was Cuban for the longest either, is Bella Thorne.
That's right.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Yeah, she also looks very Caucasian.
I know. What is it? Man, that's crazy. But yeah, I just heard about that, so that's pretty unique. All right, you know what the time it is.
Uh-oh,
it's time
Raquel.
To talk.
Rocky, it's your time.
Favorite dishes.
I'm here. I'm listening.
Cuban food. Cuban food. Every time we get to the Cuban food, it takes 30 minutes. So let's try to see what we...
Yeah, let's speed this up because it's going to get me too hungry. I got to go to bed.
Everybody turn around. It's going to start salivating. We're going to need some tissues and some... All right. So Cuban food is often considered a fusion of like Spanish and Caribbean. So cooking styles. The dishes, a lot of them contain rice, plantain, black beans, and tropical fruits. And the reason for that is because meat is costly and not always available. So fresh greens, salads, fruits, and vegetables, however, are widely used in the Cuban cuisine. So among the popular dishes is ropa vieja. Ropa vieja is one of the most popular dishes. This is a stew which is made of shredded beef, tomato sauce, bell peppers, and a lot of different spices. The stew is normally accompanied by rice. How many times do you have ropa vieja while you were growing up, Jason?
At least 4 times a week. It was like my grandmother's go-to recipe.
Really?
Yes.
Nah, arroz con huevo o ropa vieja.
Arroz con huevo.
That was the go-to ropa vieja, dog.
The alternative. When they didn't have meat, they had the ropa vieja, but they had the shredded beef.
Yeah, there you go.
That's crazy. All right. Moro y Cristianos.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Moors and the Christians.
The name, literally, the name of the dish literally means Moors and Christians and refers to the white rice and the black beans. The dish is found throughout the country and is a common meal served in Cuban restaurants.
So you may not love it.
Different name. You said you don't know what that is. Have you heard of congri?
Yeah, congri. Yeah.
Congri.
Not Moros y Cristianos.
Yeah.
Oh, what no. I like the pepper. I like the white rice and the black beans. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, so then that's just black beans and white rice.
Which is frijoles negros. So the next dish is actually called frijoles negros, and it's a dish made with, obviously, black beans that have been cooked in garlic, onions, and bell peppers, and a bay leaf. I don't know why we always throw just the bay leaf in there.
Those bay leaves in there. Mm-hmm.
I know, but they put it in there until the beans are tender, and then the beans are eaten in many of the Cuban dishes. So frijoles negros, it's always accompanied by something. Lechon asado, roast pork, is one of the most special dishes of Cuban holidays. In some cases, the process of roasting the pork starts from the time that you get the animal, and then when it reaches its natural weight, you know, for those of you who want to keep your little your little piglets everywhere, once it reaches its regular weight, they chop them. That's the way it does. Each family or restaurant has its own method or technique for roasting the pork. However, something that does not vary is the long cooking time, and they use mojo salsa. So, and mojo salsa is the quintessential Cuban sauce, which is composed of like garlic, seasoning, and vinegar. And all is a secret to achieving the authentic flavors of the roast pork. So, absolutely amazing.
Every party had a cajachina.
Oh, absolutely.
Party.
Get into it.
Cajachina. I thought he wasn't going to mention it. And I was like, okay, we're going to be able to make it through the next part. And then he mentioned it.
You have to, you know?
Oh, yeah. Insane.
So good.
Jason, describe to them what the cajachina is.
So the cajachina is like a big wooden box. You fill with like coals, sometimes with leaves, banana leaves. Every family does it different. And that's how you roast the pig in there for like hours while everybody gets really, really drunk. And then when the pig is done, you sober up by eating it.
Right? There you go.
You eat that crispy skin.
The best part.
Stop it.
Even when the pig is looking at you, you want to bite the skin.
Yeah.
All right. So, fufu de plátano. So, banana fufu is one of the few vegan dishes in Cuban cuisine. This healthy meal is made with boiled banana and fried seasoning known as sofrito.
Sofrito.
The boiled banana is then mashed with a fork and mixed with the sauce, creating a soft, semi-dry dough. While it is generally vegan, fufu is also a meat lover's favorite. The delicious seasoned banana dough is often accompanied by fried pork skin known as chicharrones. So,
very good.
My mouth is watering so bad.
I know.
Right now.
So just make sure it doesn't get on, like, you know, the equipment, because if not, you're going to have a big old sparking extra vision.
You'll hear it.
The ajico is one of the emblematic dishes of Cuban cuisine, both for its flavor and a cultural value. So the ingredients themselves represent the diversity of Cuban culture. It's a thick broth made of vegetables.
Say it slowly.
Cuba.
Say it slowly.
Ripe banana. Potato. I feel like we're making love to this. Pumpkin. Pork, stir fry, etc. So the ajayco is eaten very hot and brings together with very different types of meat, the type of creole, you know, typical creole seasoning composed of garlic, chili, and onion. So
Rocky sure created 1-800-FOOD.
She's over there. She like making love to the stuff.
Listen, I'm just gonna open up OnlyFans with food. Oh, like
only foods.
Only foods.
That's crazy. So the next one is going to kill me. Flan de leche.
That's my mom's favorite.
Is it? Does she make a really good one?
No, she buys it from the store. She buys
it from the local bakery, I'm sure.
She's like, you know what? I'm not going to mess this up. Yeah. She goes and she buys it. Hey, look, it's possibly one of the most recognized Cuban desserts in the world. And it is exquisite, and you definitely need to taste it. So it is prepared either plain or with added flavors such as coconut or pineapple. And, you know, obviously there's an et cetera because you can add pretty much whatever you feel your family wants to put on it. The flan is generally composed of several different types of milk. So you have like evaporated, condensed, and regular. And then the recipe also includes like egg, sugar. The sugar is cooked into like a syrup. And it's one of the, you know, special secrets of the dessert. It is generally added during and after cooking the seal to, like, seal it off the edges of the flan. So, good stuff.
Well, it's no longer a secret, my friend.
We just gave it up. Yeah, yeah.
Get all ready. Right.
So, and if you're trying to wash it down, for those of you who love drinking, mojito.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love mojitos.
Probably yum, Cuban's yum. Most famous cocktail. The mojito has undergone like, it's got like a dozen of international variations with tequila, gin, metaza, soju, or even local spirited substitutes. So Cuban rum is, you know, when they, well, that's what they substitute the, you know, the Cuban rum with. But mojitos, for those of you who are in there.
Yes, so there I had a guava mojito the other day. It was amazing.
So they serve it with that's the one they put the salt, right? I don't drink, so, you know. They
salt,
put the
salt or sugar. And they have put the sugar, thyme. Too.
And
oh, no,
mint,
that's...
And the mint leaves.
Yes. The mint is the most
mint
important
mint leaves,
part.
That's what I was thinking. The mint leaves, not the lime. The lime is something
else. Margarita is the salt. We're confusing
it. Well, you can get a virgin one.
¿Y pa qué es eso?
No, but that doesn't exist.
For the Latin babble.
No.
Don't hate me. I don't drink. All right, so before we turn around and make fun of me some more, Miss Rocky, you have the second artist spotlight.
Yes. So we have, as our second artist spotlight, is David Calzado y su Chiranga Habanera, one of Cuba's most influential musicians and bands. David Calzado has played an essential role in the evolution of modern Cuban music. Here is their latest song, Pidamos. No, Pidamos?
Pidamos.
Pidamos.
Say that line again.
I'm sorry, I had a mojito earlier. Which features La Charanga Habanera, Randy Malcolm. Oh, we all know who Randy Malcolm is, right? No? All right. Yulín Oviedo y others. Varios others.
Artistas.
Yo, Spanglish, my friend.
Randy Malcolm is from Gente de Zona. So, let's go.
I didn't know.
Let's play David Calzado. Here we go.
Charanga Banera presente. Con los charangueros de siempre. Qué suerte.
Veo los días pasar y no puedo caminar nuestras calles porque me tengo que cuidar.
Lo que pasó tenía que pasar. La naturaleza no tiene rival. Y si sientes como yo, pide con el corazón.
Mucho amor para todos aquellos que han sufrido, para todos.
nuestro software. A toda persona es lo que pido, lo que quiero. Hay un demonio se supera. Ahora que nadie tenga que llorar más. Veo el sufrimiento de tantas personas y muchas otras que tanto añoran tomar un café en compañía, en un ambiente de alegría. Y seré, es una prueba que nos pusieron y nos damos cuenta.
Another one. What?
And another boy. One.
Another
that was good.
One.
Dale, dile que no. Dile
another
que no.
One.
Well, you guys can sued. Find them on YouTube, Spotify, and Instagram at La Charanga Habanera _oficial.
Ah, that was so good, though.
It was. Man. I was dancing.
It's like a mixture of like modern and pastime. Like,
that's
it's
right.
Absolutely
dancing
pretty
to
amazing.
The kitchen. To eat some ropa vieja.
So, Jason, you dance salsa?
I do. My mom taught me because that's all she did while she was cleaning the house.
What a great mom.
She just blast music, playing salsa, sweeping. So she was very fond of frequent dance breaks.
That's crazy. Oh, that's yeah. good. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And for those of you don't know, Jason and I met when, you know, he came to do a Smile Squad video here at the house. So he lives in LA just like I do. And,
nice.
You know, we hit it off right off the bat. Jason is like one of the most amazing guys you'll probably ever meet.
Oh.
And that's what inspired us to kind of like, you know what? Let's create that novella together.
Yeah, I'm part of the family now.
Yo, what? I mean, I think he got a key. But so, but yeah, I think you've been here, what, twice?
Yeah, twice for two different skits.
So it's crazy. He's extremely talented. And, you know, it's just amazing that you're with us on the show. So got to love that.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm having a blast, actually.
Oh, look, I'm learning as much about Cuba as I've ever had, because you, as old as I am, we just sometimes don't go into all the different cultures.
Yeah, so, there's too many.
There is. I'm going to ask you some questions about this one, because we're now going to go through some top sites to visit while you're in Cuba. So if you're deciding to vacation there, Cuba is attractive, but often overlooked, obviously because of everything that's taken about. So if you're looking for like a tourist destination in the world, a lot of people get attracted by, you know, Cuba. So if you're going over there, the Cuba visitors and kids love to explore amazing natural and wildlife. So Cuba's historic towns and cities such as Havana have a lot to offer to families traveling with kids. And so you can go from there to like fascinating museums, insights about life in the country, and, you know, learn some things as like where the communism comes from and where it's, you know, its constitution is. There's a lot of outdoor activities such as hiking, biking, swimming, sailing, exploring more than 600 Cuban beaches. 600. That is an insane amount of beaches. So let's start with obviously the number one place that people go. They go to La Habana, which I'm pretty sure is a lot different then than it is now. So I'm pretty sure your family, Jason, had a whole different way of what the way La Habana looks compared to what it looks like now.
Oh, absolutely.
They ever tell you any of those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so different generation to generation. Hearing my grandparents' stories, it was a beautiful like place, like full of life and dancing and happiness. And then we get to my mom's era where it's like the houses are kind of like not as upkept as they used to be. And El Capitolio is kind of like falling apart a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then now with the influx of tourist dollars and they got rid of the embargo, so people can travel and spend their money, we are starting to see these structures be rebuilt, repainted. Tourist dollars are starting to flow and rebuild the country. So it's incredible how much the culture has kind of like gone uphill, downhill, back uphill. It's almost like a rebirth.
Yeah, and actually, for those, you know, who don't know what the Capitolio is, it's basically, it's been remodeled to like the United States Capitol. So it's, you know, if you go to Washington, D.C., that's what they modeled it over. And they actually did, they restored it. It's got this golden cupola, which is amazing. And it was actually like bigger than the buildings in the U.S. Capitol, which was constructed like earlier in the centuries, like the 1800s. So the house itself has a planetarium and like three different museums that you can go visit while you're there. So not to mention Havana is where they have autumn clubs, bro. Like if you go over there and you're going to listen to some music, you're going to go there or you're going to go to Santa Clara, which is our next location.
Doesn't Havana have like the malecón like Santo Domingo?
Yeah.
They have a malecón there too.
And that was that, you know, for the longest time, that was the only area that was open. They didn't want you to see anything else. So if you went to go like, you know, travel and try to do tourism, Havana is the place that they took you to.
Is Havana where it was the most kept El Varadero up. Is also, right? Which is like the most famous,
beautiful
beach in the world.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And I've never visited, so I'm going to have to take a trip. You know, I'll go there with prayers.
Take me with
and
you.
Jason.
I just can't be in any of the pictures.
I just said I'm going to take you. I'm going to go and then I'm going to take you with me. We'll hide you in the luggage.
Yeah, I just can't be in any of the pictures that we post.
His parents will come after him.
Yeah.
So you can go with a mask on, you know, because of COVID. Just
there you
cover
go.
Your face. We got it.
So Santa Clara is the university town, and it's located centrally in Cuba, and it's known for La Marta Abreu, who initiated the building in several schools. So the theater, a power plant, and the train station as well are all care homes for the children, and as well as care homes for the children and the elderly in the city since the 19th century. So the rebel and revolutionist of Cuba's revolution, Che Guevara, is buried in Santa Clara.
So is he? Oh, I didn't know he was buried in Cuba.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
You find out something new every day, which is ironically because he was killed, I believe, in Bolivia or, one of those areas. So
I'm going to give it to you.
Him and Fidel Castro were like...
Buddy.
Oh, they were buddies.
Yep.
Bro, they created a whole mess. So... Yeah. So Santiago de Cuba, the second largest city of Cuba, is located in the eastern part of the island and is famous for its huge cathedral, and for its historic fortress, San Pedro de Yarroca. So there you go. There you go. Trinidad, the town in the center of Cuba, was founded in the early 16th century and is known for the Spanish colonial architecture that you see and the historical center pastels colored houses. So kind of like in South America where you see all these different colored houses. This is the perfect place to see that. The nearby valley, De Los Ingenios, meaning the Valley of the Sugar Mills, was, for the long time, the center of the sugar and tobacco industry. And many old sugar mills can be visited in the area. So some people may have mixed feelings about that, you know.
I just want to go to Tropicana.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's where I want to go. I want to see the girls dancing and then the food. I hear the food is delicious.
We're going to go back to food? We'll never finish this episode.
So sorry.
Yeah, she's like, sorry.
My bad.
Cayo Largo del Sur, one of the most stunning beaches in the world, with white sandy beaches, can be found on the resort island in the south. Playa Paraíso is the picture-perfect beach. That's what we were talking about. Just as the name tells us, Serena Beach, which is also absolutely stunning, is the most popular beach on Cayo Largo. So there you go. If you're going to visit Cuba, take some of these and don't forget to buy yourself a set of dominoes. You'll get special currency to use just so you can buy those.
Nice.
So
I ain't playing no dominoes.
First of all, you know you play dominoes. Stop.
Yeah, but not at the beach. I don't be jet skiing and doing all kinds of stuff. Like, forget playing dominoes.
Jason will be playing it with me.
I'm going to be having mojitos and getting a suntan.
I'll be playing some dominoes.
First of all, look, we can go to the beach. We'll set up a table. We'll get mojitos. We'll play dominoes, and then we'll go jet skiing.
Okay, let's have a schedule. Okay, that's it. Okay, I can compromise for that. We're good.
All right, and some ropa vieja.
At the beach?
Medianoches.
All right, you know what? I was actually going to do this segment, but I'm going to pass this segment over to Ms. Rocky. Ms. Rocky, okay. You were actually married to a Cuban.
Oh,
so
yes.
Why don't you give us this episode, Cuban sayings?
All right, guys. So everybody ready? We're ready. We're ready. All right. So Cuban sayings. Que bola contigo means que bola, what's up with you? How's it going? Bola is also frequently spelled as vola with a V. So a V or a B.
Voila.
V for victory or B for boy. So, que bola contigo. All right. One thing my ex-husband always used to say.
Emphasis on the X.
X. Emphasis. Acere. All right. So, acere is a friend, a dude. Like, that's my homie. Mm-hmm. It's an informal way of addressing anyone. And you can actually say, acere, que bola contigo.
Que bola contigo.
So, you can put So then gringo, I mean, this is basically all over the Latin American country. So we refer them as people from the United States, that, you know.
Yeah, gringos. But it's different in Cuba, though, because gringos in Cuba actually only refers to people from the United States.
Right.
So when like Mexico and like South America and even the islands like Puerto Rico, gringos is anybody who's like, you know, Caucasian and so forth. But gringo in Cuba, they don't even refer to the Europeans. It's literally United States, people from the United States.
Correct. Absolutely.
In the Dominican Republic, they call it Yankees.
Yankees.
So I remember one of the things my ex-husband used to say, he would say, te quiero dar un mate, which is a French kiss.
Oh, that's so much TMI.
It's so romantic, right? Un mate.
You gonna kill me?
And you were like, "You're gonna kill me."
Jason, you never heard of that?
I've never heard the un mate before, but
really,
never. Oh, yeah. But I bet when he was like, "Te voy a dar un mate," she was like, "Y te doy con un mate."
Yeah,
and that's why they're exes.
That's it.
Oh my goodness,
that's it. Oh my god, the next one is me resbala. Like I don't really care. Like it just slides right off of me, literally.
Me rebala.
Me rebala. All right. This one I used to say a lot. Chao pescao. Y a la vuelta picadillo. That part I never did, but chao pescao, definitely. It was always said in this household. So, you know, it's a cutesy two-person exchange of expressions. It's just like, see you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Means goodbye, fish, or next time, minced meat. It comes from the way that the first 15 days ration card of the month gives you fish, and the next time it gives you meat.
Oh, I never knew that.
I never knew that either.
How adorable.
You see, you learned something here.
Jason will probably be using this tomorrow.
Yeah, for real. This is part of my vocabulary now.
That's it.
Chao pecao.
Yeah. So the next one we're going to talk. Chao pecao. So the next one is tumba eso. That's like saying, just drop it. Let's drop the subject. Just knock it over. Literally, just let's keep it moving. So tumba eso. And if you're Colombian, if you're Colombian like I am, I would say tumba esa vaina. And that's it.
That's funny. Dominicans use vaina too. Man, we use a lot of similar words.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, vaina. Well, I mean, we're all Latinos.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, vaina, coño.
The next.
Sorry, I didn't mean to curse.
The other one. It's okay. It's a family show. We'll keep it PG.
I'm so sorry.
Anyways, the next one is entalla. Esa si está entalla means, literally, this means at size. At the closest English equivalent, that it fits good. It can mean things like literally or figuratively fit. Or that people are understanding each other well or in the know.
Yeah, that was actually a good one.
Yeah.
Entalla.
A similar phrase that my family used for entalla is also pintao. Like, they got
pintao.
Pintao.
Exactly.
Or you used to use the other word, too. We're not
going
to say
it. We're not going to go there.
Estás. Exactly.
The family show. It's a family show.
Yeah, it's a family show. So the next one is jamar. Me voy a jamar todo eso. That means to eat. Jamar.
My mom hated that word. She was.
I know.
I know. It sounds a little like.
Yeah.
Like really like.
Vulgar.
Like ratchety.
Vulgar.
Ratchety. Yeah. Vulgar.
Muy vulgar.
Or you could say, me voy a jamar un cable, which is to be really struggling financially to get by, to be like homeless, out of work, etc. You guys know. All right, where I'm going at. So, jamar un cable. Next one, huh? Where I'm going tomorrow, la pincha.
Oh, there's a different one.
Yes, la pincha. Going to the job, to the J-O-B.
You should put la pincha madre.
Oh my god. Now, this one, está volado, means that's amazing.
Oh,
or
you
can say, yeah, or you can actually say, ese sí está volado, like he's crazy.
Yeah.
So it actually could be two different things.
Yep.
And my ex-husband era volado, so I mean, let's go. Next one. Yes. The next one is Radio Bemba. I'm sure we've heard this many times.
Lips, like a big lip.
Big lip bandit, a person who just gossips and spreads non-official news. Bemba on its own is just slang for the lips, honey.
That's
Radio
crazy.
Bemba. Who sang that? That was Hector Lavoe. He had a song like that at the end. I think it's El Periódico de Ayer. Anyways, that's Puerto Rican. We're going to Cuba. All right. I love that song too. So Fruta Bomba, also known as papaya. But why don't we just say papaya?
Yeah, right?
For real.
It's crazy. Well,
but they don't say papaya because it's also used as a Cuban slang that means something else, a little different.
Mm.
So they say fruta bomba, but not for nothing, papaya.
Oh, tell them. And, well, what does papaya mean? Go ahead, tell them.
The papaya means.
Beep.
There's an educated word for it. We can use it on air. Go ahead. What does papaya mean?
Papaya means vagina, la vagina.
There you go, see?
Yep. So, but I mean, a fruta bomba could be also known as the vagina.
True, very true.
That is hilarious. That is hilarious.
It exploded.
Exactly.
Okay, we're entering the X zone.
Yes, exactly. So, embullarse means to get excited. So, we're wound it up, you know, vamos a embullarnos. So, that's another word that we used to say all the time. Tumbar la guara means to interrupt, to break off an established level of trust and
camaraderie. No, don't worry about it.
Took off my glasses. There you go. So, tumbar la guara. Next one. Deja la singa.
Whoop. Singe? Is it singe?
Singe?
Deja la singe?
No, déjame. Para de singar.
Yep.
that's what it means.
Well, yeah. So much for being.
Stop bothering me. Para de estar jodiendo, basically. Stop bothering me, son.
Yeah.
And crazy. Then singar is, you know, like bothering, like joder, and to have sex. So.
Oh my God. I got slapped so hard in middle school when I said that word for the first time at home. My mom was like, oh. ¿Qué dijiste?
He turned around. You. He went, "Hey, what, how did you say it, though? By the way, like, what did you use it in the text?"
I don't even remember. I just remember that I was with my cousin and we were messing around, and I had just learned the word in school, like at lunchtime or something. And I think I said "Deja singar" or something. And I was like,
"No me singes más." Like, "No me singes más."
Got her. Like, I don't know if you guys growing up also had the chancleta.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
That
come on,
threw
man.
At me so quick. I was like, "I'm never saying that word again."
First of all, you don't even know where it came from.
Yep.
So
I call it chancleta boomerang. Yep.
Chancleta is kind of a
boomerang. Define
it. The boomerang, or te voy a dar un piñazo.
Yep.
Cubans say that too. Te voy a dar un piñazo, that they're going to hit you in the face. So, yeah, with the chancleta. Yep. They can do that too. Mm. And then there's jeva. I hate this word.
Mm-hmm.
Hate it. I'm so sorry,
jeva, Cuban jeva, fellow people.
Esa tremenda jeva. Esa jeva está heavy.
Esa jeva está heavy. Jeva heavy.
A girl or a girlfriend. So mi jeva is my girlfriend. Exactly. So that's what that means. Now, these Cubans are notorious for this. Porque meten tremenda muela.
Yup.
Okay. Son tremendo mueleros los cubanos estos. This is said about someone who talks a lot or way too much, especially about things that aren't that interesting. Almost everyone in Cuba chats endlessly about nothing. So if a Cuban says this about another Cuban, you know it's really someone who will chat your ears off.
Last person you want to be sitting next to.
Exactly. Yep. Tremenda muela. So, no disparas un chicharo. Oh my goodness. She or he is super lazy. Absolutely. That's exactly what it means. For example, if he doesn't do anything around the house to help, literally it translates to he doesn't even snap a green bean. This is the case of a disappearing mentioned in the introduction as the formal Spanish spelling of dispara la dispara. Dispara, dispara. Is yeah. Dispara. Okay.
So they just remove the S, it looks like. So they go dispara.
Dispara.
Cubans
dipara.
Don't say our S's.
Yeah. 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 So it normally it would be dispara, but in this case it's no dispara un chicharro. So
un chicharro. No dispara chicharro. Un chicharro. There you go. This I do say a lot. Fuacata. Es un fuacata. It's like saying piece of crap. It could be saying it can mean so many things though, the fuacata.
Yo, and we're not talking about her ex.
Yes. It could be dale at the same time, you know, or whatever. So fuacata.
You ever been called that, Jason? Your parents?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Now, see, while we're sitting there talking about this, you know, it all sounds very abusive. But they did it with love.
But it's all out of love. It comes from
it's all out of love.
All out of love. Definitely.
You're just an aggressive
a chancleta and then get called a piece of crap.
Yeah. It's normal.
Super.
So, all right. Well, that's our top sayings, ladies and gentlemen. So if you go to Cuba and you're listening to some of these, learn them, listen to the episode. And ladies and gentlemen, that is our Latin Babbler Latin World Tour showcasing the beautiful country of Cuba. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. If folks want to follow you, where do they go?
So I have the same handle across all social medias. It's just Jason, the letter S, and then Caceres, my last name, Caceres. And that's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat. It's all the same. Easy to find.
Do you have anything that you're going to be coming out with? As far as like from an acting perspective?
Yeah, so I just found out actually I am shooting a pilot next week. But aside from that, I found out that a film I was in called The Unsure Masseur is playing in 5 different countries right now. So it's
nice.
Been playing in the Rio LGBTQ Film Festival in Brazil, the Cachiche International Film Festival in Mumbai, Outfest Peru, and it's playing in North Carolina, Chicago, Los Angeles, obviously. Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
That is amazing.
Awesome. That's awesome.
See, we do have a celebrity in the house. Let me tell you what.
See?
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Cameron Diaz couldn't say this here. No, I'm just kidding.
Yo, it was him that said it, Carmen.
So, Jason, again, thank you so much, man. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show as we went through this amazing, amazing country.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
All right, guys. So if you want to follow the Latin Babbler Show, you can catch us on all of your favorite podcast apps. We are also on Radio89.com on the East Coast and Seattle Hip Hop Radio on the West Coast. Don't forget to visit our website at www.latinbabbler.com and follow us on all social media platforms just by looking up Latin Babbler Show. So everybody, say bye, because we are out.
Hasta la vista.
Hasta luego.